And you may be seated. And so I began by asking you kind of a simple question. How are you?
Fine.
How are you doing? Fine. How are things going for you?
Good.
Good. Okay. Sometimes, though, when we get with somebody, particularly things, friends that we know, maybe not, you know, when we see them, we may answer in another way. And I know there's kind of a superficiality to, you know, how you're doing, all that kind of stuff. Fine. It's just something we say. Somebody at one of the earlier services said that she had a cousin who was a hypochondriac. And every time, you know, you would say, how are you doing? And he would always say, not so good. So she said one day, she just walked to him up and said, hi. And he said, not so good. So, but one of the other frequent things that we say is, oh, just been busy. You ever say that? Just been busy. Oh, it's been crazy busy. I know I say that. And, you know, at certain times of the year, it seems to affect us, you know. Maybe it's this kind of year because it's hot outside, you know. And just the simple thing of going in and out of air conditioning and all the things we have to do can kind of make it just seem unbearable at times, you know. I also have, you know, times of the year, maybe around Christmas or other times for different people. It may be affected because my wife's a school teacher, and so it just becomes a crazy busy time of year, this time of year. A couple of weeks ago was Salem Camp Meeting, and I was out there all week, and I did something I've not done before, and that is I didn't stay out there. I stayed in town. Truth be told, there were times that I would sneak back and sleep in my own bed in previous years before, but what the difference was like I didn't have a place to go in the afternoons. So what I did every day, and I had the intentionality of doing it because I had been crazy busy, is I came back to church and I worked in the afternoons, and I did stuff in the afternoons, and we had meetings in the afternoon. In fact, one day we had a big, long meeting in the afternoon. And so it was a crazy busy week. I was out there every day, I think, at 7:30 for the morning watch. And then I was there for the teaching and for the worship. And then back here working. And, you know, there was lots going on. I don't know if you remember that particular week, but there was a lot of pastoral care needs. And there was some other stuff that was going on. And we're trying to do some planning for the fall, trying to get ready for this afternoon. It was a crazy busy week. And sometimes when we say that we've been crazy busy, we're kind of feeling a little sorry for ourselves, right? I'm crazy busy. Oh, man, no one knows the trouble I've seen. Woe is me. I'm so busy. You know, the world needs me so much. If I don't do it, who's going to do it? So just crazy. So I'm telling you, that's kind of the headspace that I got into about a week or so ago. In that time, I was also doing some sermon planning, and we have kind of this spare week. We're starting a new sermon series next week. We've got some other sermon series in the fall. And so I said, what am I going to preach on this Sunday? And I said, I need to preach on crazy busy lives, on ordering my life and world, and everybody else can just overhear. And so I'm preaching to myself this morning, and should it help you? I have a sense that maybe a lot of us struggle with this. May it be a blessing to you as well, but it has definitely been a struggle for me. So I call the sermon Scorching Heat, Busy Lives. And maybe it's because of the time of the year, but particularly as I started praying and looking on what verses this one spoke to me. And in that, I think you'll see where the title came from. But it comes from the book of James. And chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And it says, let the believer who is humble boast in being raised up, and the rich in being brought low, because the rich will disappear like a flower in the field. And it goes on, for the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the field. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. Is the same way with the rich. In the midst of a busy life, they will wither away. In the midst of a busy life, they will wither away. And so my question for you is, do you ever feel like you're withering away? You ever feel like, oh man, I'm just so crazy busy. I'm withering away. No one understands how busy I is. They don't know all the things that I do. I'm so important. If I don't do them, who will? I'm crazy busy. Whoa. So that was me. And so I'm commiserating with actually a bunch of other preachers. And preachers, when we get in a circle, we can be pretty complainy. Can you believe that? So I'm like, oh, I'm just crazy. I've never been so busy at my church ever before. I'm so crazy busy. I'm so busy. And so, like, I know there were several of us that were out at camp meeting feeling that. And I remember one particular time we were all kind of standing around talking about, what am I going to do? I've got to do something. I got to get some release. I'm just too busy, you know. And I tell you, in the midst of that, you know, you really are feeling like that. And so there was one of our colleagues out there who just happens to, you can figure out who he is, but he just happens to pastor a really, really big church. And so he's a very organized guy I've known a long time. I say, you know, how are you doing it? How are you doing that? And he says, I'm telling you, I'm working 70 hours a week. And I go, man, well, I get that. It's crazy busy. And so I started my work on this sermon, and I ran across some materials that were very convicting. And I didn't much like it, but I share it with you anyway. Because it turns out that a lot of our schedule we put on ourselves, and it has become a thing where saying that you're busy has become a little bit of a status symbol. Do you believe that? You may not feel that way, but it is. That the more busy somebody places is, that is a picture of status. I'm so busy. You know, I've got so much. And so one of the ways that they researched this was they set up, one of the psychological groups set up a study where they had a fake Facebook page. They had two of them. One of them was a person that you just saw their business life and how busy they were and all the stuff and all of their posts and everything was about that, their busy work life and, you know, their career involvement. And so you saw that on one. The other one, it was about all their leisure time. All their leisure time. You'd be seeing them on vacation. You'd see them at restaurants taking pictures of their food, you know, those kinds of things. And so they, then the questions that they asked this people group that they were surveying as they looked at these two pages is like, who is the best, more well off? Who is the more successful? And every one of them, by the far majority, it said the one that has a crazy busy schedule. And so, and I have to also say, this is very Americanized. You go to Italy, they don't feel this way. You know, success is your leisure time. You know, that's why you work hard, so you can have your leisure times. But here in America, we've gotten so driven, and we've made work become a status symbol. The more hours we work, you know, the more busy we are, and, you know, and we think that it leads to something. And here's the deal, and maybe we think, like, we are working a long time, and, you know, they say that the average full-time work week now is about 42 and a half hours. Now, I tell you, I know it feels a lot like more hours than that for me lots of times, and I'm sure it does with you. But here's the truth. If you go back in time, like to our parents' generation, they were working 12 hours a day more than we are now by average. The workday is 12 hours a day. We do have more time. But yet we feel ourselves always feeling crazy busy. I just think about my dad and the work that he did. He ran an auto parts store. They were open 6 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. It was 8 to 6. He was usually there earlier and sometimes worked later. On Wednesday afternoons, they closed down at noon. Conyers used to do that too? Yes. Close at noon, yeah. That's back in the old days. It's when we recognize rest a little bit better, I think. But and then on Saturdays, it was to 2 o'clock, and many times almost Sunday was Sabbath. Sunday was rest day. But lots and lots of hours, and that was, you know, in some of our families, and some of you, I recognize, some of you work really, really hard and have very long hours, but how do we get a control of this? How do we get our lives aligned with what God would have for us? And so I'm going to give you 4 points. I'm going to give myself 4 points. You're going to overhear. Hopefully they'll help you as well. But four, and it's going to be a shorter sermon. We're going to get out a little early. I'm going to give you a little extra time. Is that all right? Okay. So the first one is this. Spend time with Jesus. And you say, oh, David, that is a church answer for sure. You know, the answer is Jesus, you know, always. But this is true. We align ourselves when we spend time with Jesus, when we put Jesus first in our priorities, the other stuff does seem to work itself out because we understand what is truly important, what is truly eternal. And Jesus told, you know, there's a story actually from Jesus' life in Luke's gospel with Mary and Martha. Now we have a Mary and Martha in here. And, you know, we have Marys and Marthas in the churches who are literally named that, but we also have Marys and Marthas within the churches I know. And so, but here is the story. This is the context of where it came from. As Jesus and his disciples were on the way, and he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Martha, great hospitality, great heart. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And so she said to him, she came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work by myself? Tell her to help me, Lord. Don't you care? Nobody cares. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. You know, that's the way you feel in that stuff. And she says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, the great teaching professor, Fred Craddock, taught on this, and it's in his commentary, and so I remember him saying, be very careful, preachers, when you preach on this, to not scold Martha too much or she'll never work again. And don't praise Mary too much or you'll never get a lick of work out of her. And so there's some truth to that because there is a balance there. But here in this context, we see Jesus is going to be at their house for one day. You know, things don't have to be perfect. I've got somebody, and look, God bless you, God love you. I don't mean to offend anybody. I got somebody, and they go to another service so I can say it in here. So they always like to, you know, every, and it doesn't happen every Sunday, but to come and run with me and show me where there's typos in the bulletin. And I was like, do you want me to proofread the bulletin? That's how you want me to spend, you know. So, I mean, and I get it. I understand. We want excellence. But, you know, it's like, what is really needed and eternal, right? And so, and here, you know, I don't know what Martha was doing, but Jesus' call attention is Mary got it that afternoon to be there at the feet of Jesus and listen while we can. And so what I would say about that is, yes, we have to go to work and we have to do work in the church. I mean, we need volunteers this afternoon. I mean, that's part of our serving. But when we're in worship, we're engaged. When we're in Bible study, we're engaged. We've got a balanced and aligned life before us. The second one is to take a Sabbath. God created the heavens and earth in 6 days. The seventh day he rested it. And I feel myself being pulled, you know, instructed by when God was talking to Job, and Job, you know, was complaining to God, and he says, you know, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? If God needed a Sabbath or instructed us to take a Sabbath, you know, who are we? God has set up the world in our lives with a certain rhythm to it, and a Sabbath is part of that. And so remember to take the Sabbath. And here's another one, and it just comes from my research on the sermon, is to remember to sleep. And I've had times in my life when I struggled to sleep. I'm not going to have you raise your hands, but there are a lot of folks that struggle to sleep these days. You know, and sometimes it's medications we take, or, you know, we drink way too much caffeine. But sometimes it's because of the stress that we have in our lives, and we weigh awake, and we worry about things. And so remember Jesus. And if, you know, if you're sleeping less than Jesus, you might want to, like, relook at your lives. Jesus saw the need for sleep. There's this, I preached on this fairly recently, but this is, we preached from Luke. This is from Mark's gospel. And y'all know the story. You know, Jesus is out with the disciples and a big storm comes up and the waves broke over the boat and Jesus is laying there asleep. And in that is such a picture because he's of imperfect peace. He's showing that we need sleep, but he's also showing that when the storms of life come and we have all this stress on us, if our lives are at peace, we can sleep at night. And that comes from having a life aligned with God's. And so, and then when we finally come to this one, and I say, don't forget to give. And you're going like, well, Dave, you crowbarred that one in there. That's just like a preacher to like that. But I'll tell you this. You know, we're here at the end of the summer, which is usually a time when we're looking at our books and our ledger lines and kind of freaking out. But I'll tell you, we're in really good shape. We're right where we're supposed to be. You guys have been generous. You guys have been faithful. And, you know, we've got a budget that's sustainable. And so, you know, I'm not here begging for money. It's not that we need it. I mean, we do, but that's not that we need, but that we all need to give it because it aligns our lives with what God intended. And I wish it was something else. I really do. But that Jesus talked about money more than he talked about just about anything except the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the most scriptures, the red letters that are there, and the second thing is money. And the reason he did that, because there's something about us. We chase after things. We feel like we have to maintain a certain lifestyle. And so when we are able to get that aligned and organized, everything else seems to fall in line. And so, I've learned that. I'm learning that. But the scripture kind of instructs that as well. You know, it talks about, you know, how and where we're humbled. And in the early church, in that first church, there were a lot of poor people. That's just the way it was as the church grew. There was also some wealthy people. And so, you know, the gospel message came out is like, you know where you are to boast and where to be humbled. And the people that were poor, because just like I say that was the culture back then, it's the same today. The people who got a lot, people look at it as being more successful and happy and all of those kinds of things, you know. And in some ways, sometimes, you know, we've got God and they don't, because we've got money and they don't, you know. That's not what's eternal. And so those that are lowly, those who are poor, those that are humble, realize that your boast is not in what you have, the stuff that you've got, but it's in the fact that you've got salvation, that you've got Christ, that you've got those things that are eternal. That's where your boasting should come. You know, and so be thankful that you're humble. And for the rich, don't think for a minute. That thing that you've got makes you important, those things that you're chasing after and how busy your life and schedule is, you know. It says, for the sun with its scorching heat and withers the field, its flower fails, but in the midst of a busy life, it's all going to wither away. And something about our giving and our giving back helps us align to that and know what's going to eternal. Those things, they're going to rust, they're going to rot, they're going to be here, they're for a fleeting moment, they're going to go out of style, the technology is going to fail. But that which is eternal comes from the Spirit of God. And so we end with this: how are you? And not in a superficial way. I think a great, great response to that is that we are blessed. We are blessed. So how are you? Blessed. We are blessed. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I ended this, I've actually done it in all three services. You know, at the first service we go into communion, so I had this is our prayer to confession. It's actually a little chorus that we sing sometimes in the contemporary service, and I've been using it in my personal worship and devotional life because it reminded me of this. It's a confessional prayer. You know, it's a poem, but I thought we might pray this together as we come to the end. I won't ask you to sing it, but let's just recite this together as we confess our hearts. Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here I find my rest. Without you I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how just remind us of that as we worship together. We come to our closing hymn today.